The word today is humility. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Unbelievers are very often proud and believe that God will save them because they are trying to be good. They believe they can earn forgiveness for their sins. But God hates pride and warns against it. Here to help us identify pride in our lives is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Humility.
We are going to be talking about unbelievers today, and I want to have you use this opportunity as a little checkup to see whether or not you understand the unbelievers around you, and also to examine your own personal faith in Jesus Christ to see how you're doing, whether you are growing and maturing, or possibly because you've been drifting or falling away a little bit, it could be that you need to do a checkup on yourself and get back in a decent relationship with the Lord. I want to begin by pointing out that the basic sin of all sins is pride. We know that God abhors the proud because they are the ones that say they're pretty good and they probably don't need a Savior. You've probably heard some unbelievers say, "Well, if God is fair, God knows that I'm trying, and I'm a pretty good husband, I'm a pretty good father, and if God is fair, he knows I'm really working at it, I'm really trying, and so he'll probably save me." Now, you see, the basic pride in that is that mankind feels that they're basically pretty good, and if God is fair, he's going to save them somehow. And therefore, they don't worry too much about their sin. They don't worry too much about their problems. They don't talk too much about hell because they feel they're certainly not going to go there because there's a whole lot of people that are worse than they are. And they even will point out once in a while, the unbeliever will point out that they know some churchgoers that are even worse people than they are. They know some churchgoers who get drunk, and they know some churchgoers who are kind of dishonest in their business and so on. As a result, they figure they're going to be in better graces with God than those people because they're trying to live an honest and a good life. Now, what they fail to realize is that God hates pride. And when a person is saying, "I'm pretty good and God doesn't need to worry about me," or they even get so conceited that once in a while they'll say, "Well, God probably is pretty happy with me because he knows I'm trying very hard and he knows I'm trying to be good." And in that process, they realize that they are defeating everything about their salvation because the scriptures, for instance, you can look up, here's a good reference for you to look up, in St. Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. Galatians, the second chapter, you can read about things like this because they were having a problem in that congregation. And believe it or not, Peter, one of the apostles, was in the middle of that debate and he had given in. He wasn't holding up for the truth, and Paul had to write this letter to the church Galatia and point out that Peter was wrong. Peter is not in agreement with what we have taught you. And you're beginning to trade away your faith in order to think that somehow you're pleasing God. Now, the problem there was that, as a matter of fact, I don't want to call it a problem, but the situation was that the Jews were beginning to join the church there. And so the Gentiles and the Jews, even though they were totally different, were beginning to try to incorporate one congregation there and one group of people, and they were beginning to argue about which ones were better Christians. Well, of course, the Jewish people were pointing out that they were circumcised, and they felt, well, that certainly has to raise our merit to a certain very high degree because we're obeying the laws. And they forgot all about what they were taught, that you cannot be saved by the law. Good works cannot save anybody, and you could be very, very good person doing all kinds of good works and still be full of sin if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The only way to get rid of sin is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior take away your sins. That's what he came to earth to die for. That's why he died on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. If you begin to think you can work your own forgiveness, you can do a number of things, and then God will say, oh, you're pretty good, I guess I'll forgive you, that's utter nonsense, because then you are earning your salvation. And it's very clear in God's word that you cannot earn your salvation. It is a gift from God, a total gift, not just 70% or 80%, but totally a gift from God, not deserved and not earned. Well, the situation here, to go back to what I was saying about Galatia, Galatia was a region of Asia Minor there, where the early New Testament church was beginning to grow. Some of these people were starting to act a little conceited in their own good works instead of trusting only in Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to them and says, now, if you think you're earning forgiveness by what you do, or simply because you're circumcised, then you're saying that Christ died for nothing. Then you're saying that his work on the cross was really of no value, and you're trying to earn your own forgiveness. That's terrible, because then you are ignoring Jesus, and you're ignoring the fact that your faith is the only thing that can save you. So he reiterates this whole thing. Look how he repeatedly refers to the fact that you have to be dead to the law. In other words, the law doesn't help you. It tells you what to do, yes, but it can't forgive your sins. It can't earn you heaven. So we're dead to the law and alive to Christ. In other words, we have to believe in Jesus Christ. He is the way we get forgiveness. He is the one that takes our sins away. And as a result, we are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we are saved. And he wants to point out that if you begin to mix that with the law and say, well, but you have to do this and you have to do that. Have you ever noticed, even among Christians? Now, I want you to examine your own Christian faith for just a second and see whether you've begun to slip into this dangerous possibility where you begin to say, well, I speak in tongues, or well, I do this, or I do that, and I've read the Bible through 20 times or whatever, and you begin to think that somehow you've earned God's favor, instead of realizing that only by God's goodness and love do we have the hope of salvation, because while we were miserable and still in our sins and couldn't save ourselves, Jesus Christ came to die in our place and to pay the penalty for our sins. He took our place under the law and kept the law for us, and therefore he earned for us the forgiveness of sins. You know, I remember it has to be 15, 20 years ago that a couple, I would say they were in their mid-40s or 50s, walked into the front door of our church and came to visit. And they said, as they walked in and I greeted them, they said, you know, we haven't been to church for decades, and so we thought we'd try out your church. And they walked in and sat down. I was still greeting people at the door when all of a sudden they were practically running out of church. They were so fast in trying to get out of church. I said, wait a minute, what happened? What went wrong? Why are you leaving so soon? And the guy looked at me and he said, well, we read what your church folder said, and the first thing we saw was the Confession of Sins, where it says, we poor, miserable sinners. And he said, there's one thing about us, we certainly are not poor, miserable sinners. Well, unfortunately, they were so far away spiritually, they had no spiritual value in them at all, because they didn't even recognize the fact that they were sinners. And I said, well, you should have read on, because there it says that God, in his mercy and in his love, has forgiven us, that Jesus Christ is our Savior and takes our sins away. And so they were offended. As unbelievers, they were offended by being told, you have to count only on Jesus Christ. You can't count on yourself. You will notice that when you talk to unbelievers, and of course they're very critical of the Christian church. They will say things like this, well, all the church really wants is your money. And they will be very vehement about this because they want you to accept that as a criticism, that's why they don't go to church, because all the church wants is your money. You see, there's no spiritual awareness that money actually belongs to God, and that everything we have and all that we own is a gift from God. See, they don't understand that. And they can't possibly understand that God wants them to give something in order to demonstrate their faith and show their love for God and their joy over being forgiven. You know, one of the interesting things I noticed when I visited India on one of my trips over there was how generous these people are. Compared to Americans, as an example, they do not have very much of earthly goods. Most of them are living on a very small amount, and if you were to compare the budgets, for instance, of the person living in America, even the poor in America have a great deal more than the poor in India. I mean, they are really, many of them, living in poverty, and yet their giving is extremely generous. I was positively amazed how these people, I preached at a conference once where there were over 2,000 people, Christians, from India, and they gave an offering which was positively tremendous, and I was overwhelmed by it. The offering was going for missions to pay for the conference and also to spread the word. They were buying tape recorders and radios that they were taking to other villages so that they could listen to the gospel. We have a radio program, the very one that you are listening to, also goes around the world into 43 different languages. 11 of those dialects and languages are in India. And so I am pleased that those new Christians there are generous. I hope you will be too. God bless you, and tell the good news to the unbelievers so that they can trust in Jesus Christ as the only source of their forgiveness and salvation.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Freedom, which talks about the freedom we have in Christ, not the freedom to sin, but the freedom not to sin through the power of God. Ask for your free copy when you write to us at The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.